We're going to have a few Sundays of studying about Satan. Satan is something that is not taught very often in Sunday school. It's not preached very much from pulpits, and even Baptist pulpits. And Satan, we're going to get a glimpse, or we're going to come to understand how much of an enemy Satan is for God's people. Not only for God's people, he's an enemy for everybody, especially God's people. I'll put it that way. In the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth, when he was all done, he said what? It is good. It is good. So in God's frame of mind and eyes, everything was good on this earth. And then Satan came along. And Satan has spent his being, whatever you want, he has spent all this time, 6,000 plus years, trying to destroy anything and everything that God created good. And there's no doubt about it. And people say, well, yeah, but, you know, that's something I don't need to be too concerned about. Listen, you're a child of God. You're in the war. It's not, well, maybe I'll get in, maybe I'll get out. No, you're in it. You're in a battle against Satan. And it's not pleasant what Satan can do and what he has done and what he will continue to do. He is ultimately going to lose the fight. But until that time comes, we're right in the middle of it. And that's why in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we're told about the armors and the weapons of God. It is a fight. It is a fight on a daily basis. We have so many things out there that probably started good, but Satan has wormed his way into so much, to the point that it's very, very difficult to recognize what's good and bad because he's subtle, and he'll do everything he can to cloud and ruin the cloud the minds and ruin the lives of God's people. Everything he can possibly do. And the best way to fight an enemy is to know the enemy. Okay. Keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. And what I mean by that is know their tactics and know what they're capable of and know the kind of moves that they're going to make against you. And that's why we're going to do some studying about Satan, because God's people need to be very aware of who he is and what his tactics are. Otherwise, how are you going to fight against him? And you've heard me use this before, but I love the phrase is when Patton, General George Patton, when he beat Rommel's tank crews in North Africa, and far outnumbered, and Rommel was known as the master of tank warfare. And Patton went over there, and he put Rommel on the run, just about wiped out his tank corps and put him on the run. And Patton stood up in his tank that he was in and yelled, "Rommel, I read your book. And it was a book that Rommel wrote about tank warfare. And Patton, Patton had studied the book, and to the point that he knew the moves that Rommel was going to make and how he was going to make them. And we need to know the same thing about Satan. We really do. It's unbelievable the things that Satan has taken, has gotten himself involved in. And one of them is social media. Social media probably started out as a good thing. Boy, I can stay in touch with my friends. I can stay in touch with my relatives. I can do this and do that. And Satan got involved in it to the point that Meta, who owns Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all these kind of things, just made a settlement with the government, I should say, which with each state made a settlement of $18 billion over the harm that their sites have done to people. They said, well, Meta never acknowledged blame or that they were guilty. Well, why do you come up with $18 billion if you're not trying to keep, if you don't have some responsibility? $18 billion. 8.2 billion people in this world. And they say that approximately 43% of the world's population uses social media. 43%. You don't think Satan is not sitting back and saying, wow, let me get involved with that. Look how many people I'm going to be able to work against. Look how many people, especially children. And that was basically what the Meta suit was all about, was how it affects children. Now, Hitler made the claim, is all I have to do to win this world, be the emperor of this world, is to get to the children. The children we know now that are on these things, the 9-year-olds through the 18-year-olds that are involved in social media, are going to grow up someday. And they're going to take over offices in government. They're going to be our bosses. They're going to be all kinds of different heads of different things. And they're being indoctrinated now to this stuff. Who would have ever thought that our nation would have ever seen a time that we would embrace, or that anybody would embrace, socialism? And look what's happening now. And socialism is purely from hell, is where it's from. There is nothing good about socialism. It doesn't work. It's never worked. Any countries that have ever practiced it have either gone out of existence or folded to the point that they had to do something different. Socialism. The things that Meta has done ought to be an eye-opener for all of us. Meta, the agreements that they made is unbelievable. Number one, they're going to limit the time that anybody under 18 years old can use social media. Going to limit it to 2 hours a day. And you say, well, limit it to 2 hours a day? How much do they spend? And they're going to limit the hours that kids can't be on it from 12 o'clock midnight to 6 a.m. in the morning. You mean you have minors that are staying awake all night and staying on social media? Is that not scary? It's scary. They're not going to allow notifications of anything that has to do with social media during school hours. They're going to limit it. They're not going to allow that to go on. They're going to pay each state thousands upon thousands of dollars to institute programs to counteract social media. That's what they're going to do. But they admitted no wrong in what they've done. They've admitted no wrong. It's scary. It's scary. Satan is going to use everything that God has instituted for good. Satan will use it somehow, some way. Look what he did with Eve. God said it is good, and he meant the creation of Adam as well as the making of Eve. It was good. How long did it take Satan to come in and a couple of words and twist them? And that's how easy Satan can get involved with people. And we need to be so careful about that. First of all, we need to recognize that Satan is alive and well and moving around on the planet Earth, and he's got another group that moves around with him, demons. They're out there. And if you think for a moment they're not, they are. And turn over to John, the 12th chapter, for just a moment. In John, the 12th chapter, and we'll start reading with 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Hated his life. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, and for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Who is Satan? What did Jesus call him? The prince of this world. The prince of this world. We also know that he is the prince and power of the air. Okay. So where are you going to go except to heaven to escape the powers of Satan? You can't. And so you got to learn to fight against him. You got to learn to be prepared for him. And you can say, "Well, I can find refuge in God's word." Yeah, and then you turn around, close his word, and you're right back in the fight. Okay? You're right back in the fight. The fight exists all around us. He is the ruler and the prince of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4, let's go over there. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, shall shine on them." The God of this world hath blinded the minds and stolen the word of God, basically. And you go out there and you wonder why time after time after time people are being preached to. And every time you're witnessing to somebody, guess what? Satan is there to steal the words right out of their mouth. Okay? The tares and the wheat. Satan is there to steal God's word away and to make God's word less effective, less powerful. And Satan is going to do it, and we're told that he's going to do it. Okay? We are told he's going to do it, so be aware of that. No witnessing should take place without powerful prayer happening before. That's all there is to it. I mean, just, "Lord, protect me from the wiles of the God of this world. Protect me from it," because he's out there, and he's very real. We know that turn over to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, you read those words, and an animal doesn't devour something without killing it. Okay? And Satan is out there seeking whom he may devour. And you don't think that Satan can't cause illnesses, can't cause accidents, can't cause people to get hurt or not hurt, can't cause people. You think he can't? He can. He can. And he's seeking whom he may devour. And if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what does. If that doesn't make you think, okay, I need to learn how to deal with this. Jesus did his best to tell us about Satan during his earthly ministry. He was led into the wilderness. And Satan did everything he could to get Jesus to sin. Because what is sin? How would you define sin? Transgressing God's law. Sin is doing anything and everything outside the realm of God's guidance. That's what sin is. And we have grown cold and callous to sin. The whole world has. What used to be sin is not, according to the world, not sin anymore. What used to be what even the most lost man in the world would consider sin 50 years ago, 100 years ago, well, that's not sin. Homosexuality, you talk to the majority of the people out there in the world, is it a sin? No, not a sin. It's just that people choose a different lifestyle. No, it's a sin. Anything outside the realms of God's guidance is a sin. Is a sin. And we have gotten to the point that hard to recognize. If you listen to the world, it's hard to recognize what sin is and what sin isn't. Social drinking. Used to be, there was no such thing as social drinking. It was either you drank or you didn't. But now they bring in little phrases to make you think that a certain amount of drinking is okay. A few drags on weed. Is that a bad thing? No, states have legalized it. Can't be bad. States have legalized it. It's a sin. And yet we don't, we get complacent when it comes to what sin is. We really do. Now, social media. Going out to about 3.6 billion people are involved in social media. Zuckerberg said that 43% of the world's population is using social media. 3.6 billion. And what are they seeing on social media in ads that come up? What are they seeing? Now, if folks, just stop and think for a minute. If they can give $18 billion to the various states to institute programs to fight the harm that they have done, how much money are they dragging in? How much money are they getting? And where are they getting it? From advertisers and other programs that pay to use their service. That's where they're getting their money. And do you think these people are paying all this money to be involved in their, have their ads involved in social media with any thought as to whether or not what they're doing could harm children? The answer is no. They're not even, they just whatever, however we can rake in the most, we're going to put out there. And that's their motivation on these things. I would venture to say that if you tried today to start a social media site and keep it purely Christian, you're not going to get it done. Why? Because all these advertisers aren't going to come to you, because Christians aren't the audience they're looking for. It's the lost that they're looking for. And so I guess what I'm saying is, when people say, well, there's good and bad. Folks, there may have been good to start, just like God said, it is good. There may have been good to start, but it didn't stay that way. And why? Because Satan wormed his way into it. I mean, if you were an enemy of the people and you wanted to pull all the people that you could away from God, what better way to reach 3.6 billion people? 43% of the world's population. It's scary. I just read recently where Meta is in the process in Tennessee, just outside Pigeon Ford, I think is the name of it, where Dolly Parton, just outside that city, is building a $10 billion facility dedicated to AI. $10 billion to AI. And if you think we've seen trash so far, wait till the AI program takes off. Satan is going to use it. I guarantee you. He's going to use it. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I shudder to think of the world that my grandkids and great-grandkids and et cetera, will be growing up in. Lord tarries, this world is going to wax worse and worse and worse. And who's going to cause it? Now, what are some of the tactics that Satan uses? In John 8:44, it said here, let's go to 42. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? What happened to God's word? How come these people couldn't hear it? Because Satan was working. Okay. He goes on to say, Jesus told, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan will lie to people every opportunity he gets. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Satan comes along and talks to people? No. But he makes you see things that you don't recognize as a sin and as a lie. And he lies. He lies every time he turns around. So, you've got God speaks only the truth on one side, and Satan speaks only lies on the other to entice people. Satan, in fact, if you look at it, case in point, he lied to Eve. He lied to her. You will not surely die. And she did surely die, okay? But he lied to her. And so Satan will use lies upon lies upon lies. And I want to tell you something. The majority of advertising you see on TV, social media, here on the radio, whatever the case, the majority of it has lies in it. Buy this car and you'll never have problems again for the first year and a half. It's a lie. You will have problems. Some people, cars break down. And so it's a lie. And that's what advertising basically is a lie to people. And we need to be aware of that. What is another tactic? We read it in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Let's go back there again. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What does he do? He blinds people. He blinds people, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. He blinds them. And he blinds them how? By ridiculing Christianity, what we teach, what we preach out of the Word of God. He takes God's words and twists them to the point that he blinds people. That's what the meaning is. How many pulpits are out there today, and how many missionaries are working in the world that don't have the glorious gospel of Christ correct? How many? Tons and tons and tons. They don't have the truth right, but yet they're flourishing like mad. Flourishing like mad. An example of this, I've showed you all pictures of the Scaff Chapel in Scaff, Tennessee. So I read a little bit of history about it. In 1934, a guy by the name of Frank Scaff donated the land for the first church. On the condition that it be called Scaff Pentecostal Chapel Church. And the church flourished. Now, here's a group of people that aren't speaking the truth, but the church flourished up to the point that they started out sharing a schoolhouse with a Baptist church. Only one would meet in the morning, the other one meet in the afternoon on a Sunday. The problem was, is half the time they couldn't find the guy that had the keys to the schoolhouse. So they met under trees and that type of thing. And then they finally had a building offered to them that they could meet in. And it was an automobile garage where they worked on cars. And so the people went there and they sat on engine blocks and running boards oil cans and various things when oil came in 5 gallon cans. They sat on these and the pastor used a car hood as an altar. And the church continued to grow. And then they went and paid $35 for two old houses on a homestead and tore them down and moved them into town and set them up. No bathrooms, no electricity, no nothing. And the church grew. And it grew and it grew to the point that in 1934, Frank Scaff offered the land for them to build if they would call the church by his name, the chapel, and make sure it was called Pentecostal. And then it went on to say that in about 2002, the church paid $150,000 for adjoining land, and in 2006 paid $180,000 for another adjoining property so they could grow and grow and grow. A church that speaks lies. A church that speaks lies. But look at it. Now, who do you think helped that church flourish? They speak lies. Satan, the father of lies. And he's going to promote that kind of thing all the time. And do we think about that when we go by and see all these other churches out there that satanic inspired? Satanic inspired. We need to recognize what the devil is capable of. And I covered two strategies that the devil uses, and I've got 8 more that we're going to talk about. But in any case, folks, be aware of Satan. Know he's out there. Know his demons are out there. And they are working like mad keep people away from the glorious gospel. Brother Don, lead us in a word of prayer.